Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. You know, it's funny, Seth. I opened up this list yesterday that Judy Batista did for NFL.com, and it's dark horse MVP candidates, and it's interesting because it's really the best. It's the best of the best of the guys that aren't in the magical, mythical top four right now. I feel like it, if you were to do a consensus top quarterback list, the top four are on their own tier, and it's some permutation of Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. Like those, yeah. Like any quarterback power ranking right now has those four guys in some order at the top, and then it's everybody else after that in a different order. But it feels like there's this sort of artificial ceiling or floor built in between those four guys and everybody else. And so this list that Judy Batista puts together, dark horses, is basically the best of the rest after those four guys. And you page down, you page down. I was paging down on this thing, and there's Jaden Daniels, and they got wide receivers in here like Jamar Chase, and Saquon makes the list. He almost won it last year. Boy, I'm paging down, and there's old Justin Herbert, and I'm like, Judy Batista, don't you do it. Don't you put Justin Herbert ahead of C.J. Stroud on a list. And it turns out the list is merely alphabetical, and C.J. Stroud is the very last one down
what
here.
What kind of bogus cop-out is that?
It's alphabetical.
Judy Batista, I respect her a lot, but yep. This is, you don't put a group up, you put a ranking up, damn it. So we have no idea if she did a power ranking. Perhaps it could be C.J. Stroud number one overall. We don't know. Travis Hunter is on this list
as
well.
I want to get to that. Travis Hunter made the list. Yeah. But C.J. Stroud is on here, and it's weird. Here's what she says about C.J. Stroud, Judy Batista. Again, dark horse MVP candidate list has about 8 or 10 guys on here. Stroud entered a sophomore slump last season, but that was in part due to a poor offensive line and a terrible string of injuries to his wide receivers. I agree with that. The O-line has been overhauled, and Houston invested in wide receivers in the offseason. Also true. If the line gels, Stroud should regain the form he had in 2023 when he was the offensive rookie of the year and got a handful of MVP votes. Seth, is it as simple as if the offensive line gels, 2023 C.J. Stroud is walking through that door?
I guess it's one of those things where it's kind of like saying, if I win the lottery, I'll be rich. So there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's a huge if.
Yeah.
So if the offensive line gels, and it's not just, I guess, because A, it's the individual performances of the offensive lineman. B, it's Cole Popovich as the offensive line coach. C, it's Nick Caley as the offensive coordinator. D, the tight ends are involved in that as well, and that's all related to Popovich and Caley,
no
too. So I feel like I think it's an oversimplification to say if the offensive line gels, because there were problems in every position group last year that, in my mind, could all be traced back to Bobby Slowick not just executing a good offensive strategy.
Yep.
So if the offense performs up to the level of their their depth chart, I suppose. The offensive line has some, look, they've got some glaring question marks with some of the individual players on the offensive line. But as we've discussed numerous times, an average group of linemen can be a solid NFL offensive line if they're coached well enough and if the skill positions are good. So I'll say maybe if not, like the offensive line doesn't have to be the best offensive line in the league, but if they can function like a cohesive functional unit,
yeah,
then that alone is good enough.
Yes.
Like they can be, if can they be an average offensive line the way the Ravens were? And the, you know, Ravens, there's different dynamics because Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield is such a nightmare for defenses.
Yep.
But it led to a bunch of kind of average offensive linemen being a really good offensive line last year. Likewise with the Texans, it'll look different, but in having CJ Stroud and then in having potentially two really good running backs, plus Woody Marks, plus the wide receivers. Yes, the offensive line could perform better.
This is how good C.J. Stroud was as a rookie, and the buzz around him coming into last season is that C.J. Stroud being on a dark horse MVP candidate list feels like a step backwards from a year ago.
Oh, yeah. That right? It's a dark horse. Why is C.J. a dark horse?
If you look at the MVP odds board, Seth, going into last season, going into the 2024 season, and you run your finger down it, you go through maybe three or four names at most before you get to C.J. Stroud. He was a top five on the odds board MVP guy throughout the entire preseason and into the regular season last year.
I think the guy that jumps out to my mind that's probably in the same category would be Brock Purdy, and just because with the performance of the 49ers in general last year, you certainly didn't see the best version of Brock Purdy. I wouldn't have been surprised if I saw Brock Purdy on this list, just because if the 49ers can stay healthy, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, he'd probably be back up there. You can have an argument about whether he's a system quarterback or not. It's just you can only do so much given the circumstances you're in.
Yeah,
Brock Purdy did some things really well last year, but it was all for naught, obviously.
Yeah, the team wasn't very good. Right. The other names on the list are interesting. The Texans are going to see a lot of these guys this year. Baker Mayfield is on here. They're going to see him in week two. Travis Hunter, they're going to see twice a year for the foreseeable future. So let me read what they say about Travis Hunter. What does Judy Batista say about Travis Hunter? Perhaps the darkest of dark horses on the list, but Hunter mans two positions and neither is quarterback. Still, how do you ignore a player who could do something rarely seen in the NFL both ways, play both ways, and have a significant impact at receiver and corner? Key to whether the reigning Heisman Trophy winner garners any votes will be how big his numbers at receiver are and how much the Jags use him on defense. He's doing both in their minicamp.
Right. He started
hardcore both.
The other day was the first day he had played both cornerback and wide receiver in the same practice. So they're planning. They put him on the fast track. And I'll go back to when Shohei Ohtani was coming up. You know, there were a lot of Major League Baseball players that thought, like, you know what, man, this isn't going to work out. I don't get it. You've never seen it before.
Right.
And, like, those guys obviously had informed takes. They weren't being jerks about it or anything. You've just never seen it before. So I'm curious. I wonder, like, right now I'm in the position of saying, I don't know if it can or cannot be done. You won't know. Nobody's even really tried it other than sporadically playing on the other side of the ball here and there. Like, to be more of a full-time player with heavy dosages on both sides of the ball, we haven't seen it. So I don't want to say it can't be done. I wonder if I would have that same sentiment if it weren't for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'd be sitting here more like, nope, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's idiotic, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think it's dumb. I'm all for thinking outside the box, and the guy can do both at a high level, at least collegiately he was able to. You know, we'll see if it translates. I just think, boy, I look at his frame, and he is stepping up in weight class in terms of the guys he's going to be going against. That's my contention, is I think skill-wise, I think he can do it. And I think even just conventional endurance-wise, he can do it, just in terms of like the workload on his muscles and whatnot. I just think that's a lot of hits to be taking, the physicality of doing that, you know?
The physicality of it, like obviously he can withstand a lot of physical, you know, tests, but it's almost, I look about the way they played in college, and it's almost more like an endurance feat as much of an ability to take a bunch of body blows.
Yes.
Where the other thing in college is that, man, you can kind of cruise on defense in zone a lot, and you can't get away with that in the NFL.
No.
And it's a battle, man. I like just so many times. It's one of the hardest things that cornerbacks have to deal with is you cover Jamar Chase on a go route, Jamar comes out of the game the next play, and then they throw some other little whippersnapper in there that
right,
you gotta
like
cover
everybody's
downfield.
Good, you know, like
and it's yeah, and then it, but then to go and that's hard for really really good cornerbacks to have to deal with.
Yes,
and then to jump over and play offense, there's no cruising in the NFL.
The fourth receiver on teams he's going to be playing would have been easily the best receiver on every Big 12 team he was playing last
that,
year,
and that's where I wonder where it might have some effects on the Jacksonville offense. And oh gosh, it would be devastating if this was the case. Oh no. when you're not the primary, when you're running a secondary route or yeah. something, like just how hard are you pushing it
yeah.
when you just played, when you've just had 12 snaps of man coverage
yeah,
on
man.
The other side of the ball. It's just that stuff kind of factors in above and beyond the individual performance.
Totally, totally.
I did. Like, wait, I'll admit to this. When I was in high school, I played every single snap when I was in high school. I played offense, defense, special teams, everything. But I like I knew that I was a defensive player. If I was going to go to college, I was going to play defense.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of – I effectively cruised on offense in that I would cut block every single chance I could get.
What position did you play? What position did you play on the O-line?
Center and guard.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly center.
Yeah.
So and it was fun. I'd chop a lot of those fools down. but I wasn't as physical on offense as I was on defense.
Because that was your meal ticket. It was on the defensive side on the defensive side of the football. So CJ is on this dark horse list, and it feels like a step backwards to me compared to last year. I'm like, he's on dark horse list. He's not on primary candidate list. Hopefully that changes at some point. The Indianapolis quarterback situation, Adam Schefter was on ESPN yesterday talking about this. We'll talk about the AFC South in the next segment. But this is where, to me, the team whose roster is closest to the Texans top to bottom, Indianapolis, this is where they are. Here's Adam Schefter on why they signed Daniel Jones in the offseason.
I think there's a reason that Indianapolis paid Daniel Jones more than the Pittsburgh Steelers are paying Aaron Rodgers, because they knew that at some point in time they might have to rely on Danny Dimes. Now, as for what's going on with Anthony Richardson, I think when you consider his injury history and consider the fact that this shoulder had surgery his rookie year, and now it's an issue where they're shutting him down till at least the start of training camp, I think it's problematic.
Okay. We'll get more on Anthony Richardson here in just a second. I'm still amazed that people are positive on Daniel Jones at this point. Like I guess
I think Daniel Jones feels like the way your head feels better when you stop bashing against the wall.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, well, it's better than the alternative. It's it does. Like, okay, I'm not.
Give me a metaphor for Daniel Jones.
I've pulled the arrow out of my leg.
Yeah,
and it's still. I don't know. There's not a hospital within miles. The wound is starting to smell like almonds. But but at least the arrow's out of my leg.
I am not scared of Daniel Jones one bit. I know he's probably a better fit for Shane Steichen and what Shane Steichen does, and maybe what Brian Daboll was doing. Daboll does a lot of run game too.
I'm not afraid of Daniel Jones. I am afraid of any passable quarterback with the amount of offensive talent they have on the Colts.
Yeah,
and that last year with Anthony Richardson. There's only somebody. I mean, we saw him, like, he just, A.D. Mitchell was wide-ass open. Why? As wide open as you can
be
get.
Stanley, yeah.
Incredibly open for an easy touchdown.
Yep.
And he just launches it, like, 20 yards away from him.
But then there were three other passes in that game where he,
Right.
Puts it right where it needs to be, yeah.
Right, right. But that's the problem. It's
yeah.
It's so infuriating because it's just those highlight reels hit and people say, oh, I guess he wasn't accurate. Like, no, he's not.
Dude.
Capable of being hitting a bullseye every now and then, but then wildly spraying bullets everywhere. Like, where'd the other bullets go that didn't hit the bullseye? Oh, one hit a school bus, one hit a church,
yeah.
and one hit an old lady crossing the street.
I couldn't believe when Orlovsky did that. Like, I get it for, like, random Dove Kleiman's on there and ML football and those to do that. Like, amazing. And then they show a video of it, and they're like, oh, the Colts are going to be a contender this year.
But when
Orlovsky posted a video of him, like, throwing it into a tight window at Florida in college, he's like, man, don't tell me this guy can't throw. I'm like, Dan, no, he can't.
Everybody, like, really say, oh, I guess he wasn't accurate. Like, no. Every single scouting report says he's capable of those throws.
Right.
But he But he only completes 50% of his passes.
Yeah, yeah. Here's Adam Schefter on what he's hearing about Anthony Richardson.
I'll just say that there's a lot of smoke flying around there about the condition of his shoulder, about screws in his shoulder, about the soreness in his shoulder, about how long it might last, about when he might throw again. And every time I go to somebody that would be in a position to know, they say, no, he's fine. He should be ready for training camp. And so I just think for right now, it's just one of those lingering questions that's out there. I have questions about whether or not he will be ready for the start of training camp. We don't know when he'll be back there.
Dude, the draft is wild. He was taken two picks after CJ Stroud. Like, if a game in that season goes one way or the other, maybe the Texans are picking fourth and the Colts are picking second. We just got done talking about CJ Stroud being a dark horse MVP candidate. We played audio of the general manager of the Texans, Nick Caserio, talking, going for a minute and a half about what it's going to be like for CJ to have control at the line of scrimmage this year and the second level thinking he's going to need to do and the Brady video he's watching. And meanwhile, the Colts have a guy that, as you just pointed out, Seth, can't complete 50% of his passes and has screws in his shoulder heading into training camp right now.
And it goes all the way back to high school.
Yeah.
Like, he's just always injured. That's what people at University of Florida would tell you. Like, you know, I love to ask the fans of a college fan base, how do you feel about this quarterback?
Yep.
And everybody at University of Florida is non-surprised. They are not surprised about the injury history of Anthony Richardson. So no, there's just the dude. He's not going to make it as an NFL quarterback. You know, we just talked about how I hate to say never. A, he completes 49% of his passes.
Yep.
B, he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
C, he pulled himself out of the game on third and goal.
Yeah.
Third and goal.
Right.
That was not emphasized enough last year when people were trying to say, well, why is everybody making such a big... It was third and goal. Yeah, but he runs so much. He had scrambled back to the line of scrimmage on the previous play.
Seth,
what on earth are you talking about?
Seth, he's got shoulder issues, back issues, other issues. He completes 49% of his passes. He got benched for a few games in the middle of last season. What did he get benched for? I mean, that's a lot of things. Which of those things got him benched? His lack of professionalism.
He didn't like to
prepare. Did I mention he's not really professional as well?
Well, but then when they brought him back, a lot of people have been saying, like, hey, man, this is the kind of quarterback, this young guy, you got to run him more if you want him to succeed.
Yeah.
So they ran him more, showed some positive things.
Got hurt.
Back spasms,
yeah.
Which he says that he's dealt with before.
No.
What are we even talking about here?
Seth is
my God. God, I wish, is there a way to gamble on this? I'm looking at draftsharks.com.
Yeah.
They have what the hell? What a horrible website. So his, they give a percentage chance of injury in 2025. They say low risk. With a 40.4% chance of injury in 2020. Can I bet on this somewhere? Can I put my 401k on this money?
Bet on injury, yeah.
The chance that he misses at least two quarters of a game, they say it's a 40% chance.
I bet you can somewhere bet on this. The number of games Anthony Richardson plays?
There's no way in hell the odds are the over-under is like two quarters of a game on Anthony Richardson.
God, no. No.
This is a horrible, at least this segment of this this website is just
Does that website have its own betting kiosk on there? That's the question. That's where the money's going to be made.
Whichever company bought Barstool originally, it's got to be that company.
Let them buy it back for a dollar.
Bought them. I'll tell you what. Can we talk about that financial transaction? Portnoy sold it for what, $400 million?
Like nine figures, easy, yeah. Yeah.
And then bought it back for, was it a dollar?
I don't know if it was a dollar, but he bought it back for pennies compared to what he got for it. I know, that's
I gotta sell my YouTube. Where can I sell my YouTube channel to?
For $900 million.
I was talking to somebody, I probably shouldn't say his name, but he sold his podcast to a company. He was kind of iffy about it because it wasn't like life-altering money or anything. But the name of the podcast is like, it's his podcast, you know? So
yeah.
He's like, if at some point, you know, like when this contract runs out,
yeah.
I don't have to worry about it.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a dollar. Colin, our producer today, he's in for Ben, tells us he bought it back for a dollar. Barstool.
that is selling high and then buying back
low. That's good living right there for sure.
It would have been awesome if they had put up futures bets about this, the financial
Barstool.
Health of Barstool or something.
The company
you find
that
out
bought
that
it.
I'd be so surprised if Portnoy had somehow funneled money into an offshore account.
It'd be shocking.
And a shady trade. Yeah.
All right. So we just got done talking about the Colts. I have a question about the AFC South. When was the last time, as a Texans fan, you were truly fearful of anything in the AFC South? And this includes the bad Texan seasons. When was the last time? That's coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
My question that I teased into this segment, and we'll attack it here in just a second, was this division has, the AFC South has been one of the most forgiving divisions in sports, all of sports, for the last 15 years or so. When was the last time as a Texans fan you were truly fearful of anything in the AFC South? And a texter sends in, during the dark days of Culley, I was fearful of the Texans hurting themselves. Does that count?
It kind of goes along with, at various times. I mean, when the Jaguars got to the AFC Championship game, it felt like a fluke run at the end. That was Trevor Lawrence's one really long, sustained stretch of good football.
When they got to the AFC, you're talking about when they got to the AFC Championship game in 2017?
Yeah, that wasn't Trevor Lawrence. Apologies.
Yeah, that was Bortles.
That was Bortles, whatever. That didn't feel real. I think Vrabel in 2019 and 20.
Yeah.
That was probably the last time you felt like, okay, that's a genuinely good football team.
Yep.
That you got to, and they had like A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and guys that were worthy of being feared.
Derrick Henry is the last thing in the AFC South that I, as a fan, have feared as a Texan fan. And I understand Derrick Henry, when he was really dominating the Texans, that predates the really dark days for the Texans. So people, I'm sure, are like, Sean, are you telling me that when the Texans were horrible, you didn't just fear everybody in the division? And I'm like, no, because it wasn't worth fearing anything when you're winning three games a year. Like, to me, like, fearing another team is when you actually have something to play for. Like, I'll go back, like, when Andrew Luck's first few years, like, when Andrew Luck was first coming up and you could see in his rookie year, this guy's going to be a problem. And then we know injuries got Andrew Luck. But 2012, 2013, 2014, when the Colts, the furthest they got with Andrew Luck was that year they got to the AFC title game. I legitimately feared early years Andrew Luck. Like, that's probably the last, and T.Y. Hilton as well, to go along with that. That was a problem. Because the Texans were, they were a team that competed with the Colts back then, so you had to fear them because they were going to take something of substance away from you.
Right, and then with the Titans, 2019 through 2021 was when, 2019, they were second in the division.
Yeah.
And yet they went to the conference championship game. Then they're 11-5 and 12-5 the next two seasons. But that was in 20 and 21 where the Texans weren't. If the Texans were good in those years, then I would have. It's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Boy. I don't know, like, this is the team we got to knock off within the division.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Derrick Henry is the last thing, like the last person or team or element of something outside of Houston that I feared in the division. Since then, and now I still fear him with Baltimore, greatly fear him in Baltimore.
That was the cruel irony of 2023, was Derrick Henry had a couple of the worst games of his career versus the Texans in 2023.
Yes.
Then he goes off to Baltimore and was very, very, very good.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, he just needs a really good team around him, and he's still the old Derrick Henry again.
And I've said, you know, like we were arguing, it was big intrastation debate over whether you know, the Texans, if they were going to go after one of those running backs. I really wanted Derrick Henry, which was very unpopular at the time by almost everybody because, A, the Texans had, for the first time in their careers, just shut Derrick Henry down. And then, obviously, Saquon Barkley is Saquon Barkley. I feel bad that I lost that war about Derrick Henry versus Saquon Barkley because they were both astoundingly good in 2024. It's just that Saquon... The part that it doesn't bother me too much is I don't think either of those guys, if they had come to the Texans last year, would have had anything close to what they did with their respective teams.
Yeah, I guess maybe you lost that war. I mean, Derrick Henry was freaking amazing last year.
I know.
I mean, so was Saquon. Obviously, he was great. But
I wasn't wrong for wanting Derrick Henry.
No, you absolutely were not. Absolutely were not. PFF had an article on the Achilles heel for each of the 32 NFL teams. In other words, it was an opponent
from the other team.
Yeah.
When I first saw this, I thought it meant like what team has an Achilles heel that can be attacked.
Yeah.
Who is your opponent?
Your arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's your arch nemesis? And this was an easy one. I mean, it was Derrick Henry for the Houston Texans. He did, despite the fact that they shut him down in 2023, Texan fans probably aren't. This is what it says in the article. Texan fans probably aren't all that surprised to see Henry's name in this slot. Since 2020, Henry squared off with Houston 7 times and had a 93 PFF rushing grade. That's on a scale of like I think it's 1 to 100.
Of 100.
Yeah. While racking up 1,005 yards and 8 touchdowns in those games, he logged 802. 80% of the yards came after contact, and he forced 51 missed tackles in 8 games.
And that includes 2 games in 2023 where he totaled 50 yards between the 2 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how impressive it is. No, you know what? You're right. This article doesn't make any sense. An Achilles heel is a weakness you have.
That you have,
that can be attacked.
They're using the term wrong.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing it the exact opposite. This is the garlic to a vampire.
Yes,
this is the wooden stake to a vampire.
This is your kryptonite.
This is my kryptonite.
This is your kryptonite is what this is.
That website has just gone downhill. How do you not understand what an Achilles heel is?
Yeah, they're too wrapped up in all their numbers and whatnot. They're just way too wrapped up in their stats. Text messages on the last time people feared things in the AFC South outside of Houston. I had fears every time we played Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. Traumatic times. Well, you were there for that, Seth. You were there for
Vince Young in the early years.
Yep.
That was something to be feared.
Yep.
In the AFC South. Fred Taylor and we got to go back to like Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew being the combo that they were.
Jacksonville had the Texans number for a little while. Yes.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that.
But it's been a long history of non-fearful. Basically, it's like a horror movie that's rated PG-13. It was not all that scary, the AFC South. Other than the Texans. I mean, the Texans had a good run with some of their superstar players offensively. The Colts, obviously, but other there, it's very sparse across the last couple decades.
If they were having this same conversation in Tennessee and in Indianapolis and Jacksonville this morning, is this current version of the Texans a team that qualifies as one that is to be feared? Not a good team that wins 10 games. We've had several of those in the AFC South, but one that is to be fear. I think this defense is a defense to be feared. I absolutely feel that way about the defense.
I think, yes, for sure, especially quarterbacks playing at NRG. The biggest thing to fear in the NFL at large is being a quarterback coming into NRG Stadium unless you're Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Because by and large, every other quarterback that some really good quarterbacks had their worst performances of the year at NRG Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff won that game, but I can guarantee you he doesn't feel great about playing the Texans defense after, you know, after throwing five interceptions in one game at NRG Stadium.
100%. 100%.
But I would say, like, right now around the AFC South, there are scenarios I fear. They just got to prove it. I mean, like Brian Thomas Jr. Paired up with Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
That's
okay. That's a good one.
I clinch my butt cheeks a little bit there.
Yep.
The skill position players for the Colts, that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some. I think some of the interior defensive linemen for the Tennessee Titans, that scares the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what's his name? The planet-sized human being.
Tavondre Sweat.
Texas. I saw Tavondre Sweat throw aside Shaq Mason, a large human being, like a disused tissue paper.
Yes,
it was. There's certain individuals that I do. I've got my eyebrows raised.
Yeah.
And I'm on alert for them.
Yeah. It's not the same, like, global fear that I had of Derrick Henry or, say, Andrew Luck back in the day. But, yes, it's a fear watch list is what we have in the AFC South right now. Our feared defense text message sure gives up a ton of points to AFC South opponents. Will Levis went off at NRG. No, they had a bad game. They had a couple bad games. There's no question about that. It's still a really good defense, and I think it is going to improve. I think it's got a real chance to be a top five defense in the NFL this year. The Texans.
Yeah, they
defense.
Just have to. They've got to clean up some of these big plays allowed, especially at inopportune moments in the second half. Some of that's related to the offense, but not all of it.
Yeah.
You can't make excuses for some of the big plays they allowed, and really in situations where you should not be allowing big plays. That just regardless of what the defense is doing, it's poor. It was poor technique or mental breakdowns in the secondary a lot of the time.
T.Y. Hilton's getting a ton of love on the text page right now.
God, yeah, that was
T.Y. Hilton.
That's right.
The frustrating thing about that is T.Y. Hilton was a good receiver. I don't know that he ever made a Pro Bowl, except his numbers against the Texans. I think he ended up playing exactly 16 or 17 games, Seth, in his career against the Texans, and his numbers look like Jerry Rice. It's like 1,800 yards receiving, you know, double-digit touchdowns, a bunch of 100-yard games. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton.
He had an all-pro season against – if you take all of his games versus the Texans, he basically had an all-pro season.
Easily,
It was astounding. I guess you'd have to take – it was more than a full season. But he had 1,820 career receiving yards versus the Texans.
Yeah, It was crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're going to do Take a Mania at the top of the hour. Does anybody take down Kendrick Perkins from last week, our new champion, Kendrick Perkins, who threw shade at Devin Booker for possibly wanting to stay with his team instead of going and ganging up to try to win a championship? We'll replay that take. We'll have the challengers for you. But let's clean the palate a little bit ahead of time here. And just I think one of the best takes actually came up in the last couple days in the basketball realm. We'll get to that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up.
Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Take a Mania at the top of the hour. Our Friday segment where we have a champion. That champion is someone who has the current worst take in sports. And each Friday, they try to get through a gauntlet of contenders to retain their championship. Right now, the current reigning defending champion is Kendrick Perkins of ESPN. So we'll have that at the top of the hour. It's very basketball heavy. The basketball world has been full of bad takes over the last couple of weeks, so it's a basketball heavy.
Basketball has been good for bad takes, and the baseball playoffs, the college baseball playoffs, have been very good for Pettycast.
Yeah,
college coaches deliver come Pettycast time.
Do they? Because
college basketball coaches are at the pinnacle,
the best.
But college baseball coaches are making a push.
I know. I wasn't here for that one. I was on vacation when you and I think it was you and Bajani that day did the college baseball Pettycast. I'm sad that I missed that.
You're not, because remember I was the one running the segment for that one. All the classic glitches you would expect when Seth Payne runs a segment
makes me even sadder. So we'll have a lot of bad takes from people coming up for you at the top of the hour. This is an actual good basketball take. It just made me laugh. Charles Barkley on the current New York Knicks head coaching search, which keep in mind has consisted of them reaching out to not one, not two, not three or four, but five different NBA teams to see if they could interview their currently employed, including the Rockets, their currently employed head coach.
Yeah.
That's been their search. Here's Charles Barkley's evaluation of the New York Knicks head coaching search.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going
to
do.
It is incredible. At that point, it was only three. The number's gone up to five. That was before they'd reached out to Atlanta about Quinn Snyder and Chicago about Billy Donovan. So,
I feel like I have to mention this. Yes, firing your team's attained some level of success. They've done something impressive. Yeah, you fire the head coach immediately afterwards and you don't seem to have a plan. Where does this lie in comparison to, say, winning a World Series and then firing the general manager and then not having a plan?
Yeah.
I pull back a little bit because I don't know exactly why Thibodeau was fired.
Yeah.
It's weird that they did it. I mean, I do. I like understand like the playtime, the potential conflict with the players, all of that. But then to be scrambling afterwards like this, I guess the difference there is that the Astros still were very much in the driver's seat in terms of their how appetizing the job might look.
No doubt.
You know, the Astros took their time hiring a GM and made some sketchy decisions while they were doing it, but still, that was an organization that would have people interested in the job, even though you just fired the guy that won the World Series.
Yeah, I think there were a few things at play. That's really interesting you bring up the Astros, because you're right. They did let James Click go. They let his contract expire. Really fired him. They didn't bring him back. They made him a lowball offer, and he was like, no. You know,
But that is relevant. It wasn't like they fired him. They chose to move on.
But I think the message it was being sent was, we're not all that hepped up about it. If they liked him, if they really liked him, they'd have offered him a multi-year market-level deal to remain the general manager, you know? It felt like it was done. It felt like they almost did it knowing that he would say no. But I think the other thing to keep in mind there with the Astros, too, Seth, is that first of all, they just come off a World Series. That was 2 in 6 years. They'd been to the World Series. They had the benefit of the doubt probably with a lot of people here locally as to they were still making a lot of good decisions. Bagwell still had not been a big part of making the decisions that really dragged down the franchise the subsequent year with the Jose Abreu signing and with bringing back Rafael Montero.
But that was very much part of it, though. I mean, that was the operating without a GM because he didn't have a plan for what you were going to do afterwards.
Totally. It was part of it. In terms of when they let James Click go, I don't think there was major criticism from the fan base. I think there was a lot of trust in Jim Crane that they were going to do the right thing. And I think with Click, there was an element with Click where people felt like, well, this guy, I mean, it's all Aluno's guys that just won the championship. It really wasn't. And then you go back and look, though, and James Click made some good, like, deals on the margins. There was no, like major deal that James Click made in that 2020, that 2022 season. He made, you know, he traded for Vasquez and he traded for Mancini, like little moves on the margin. He was the one who traded for Dubon, and everybody's loved Dubon the last few years and things like that.
Right, but you know what? It felt a little bit like the way Brian Gain operated as a GM.
A little bit, maybe.
You get the sense that he wasn't as aggressive as perhaps the owner wanted, or the, you know, with Gain, it was that the head coach wanted him to be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. I think with if you just filter out all the rumors and everything, like, if you step back and think, okay, what were a lot of the stories we heard? It seemed like there were just a boatload of stories about Crane basically saying, like, go get this guy or go make a move or something, and Click holding back.
Yeah.
There was a disconnect there somehow.
Yes.
So, like, that part of it makes sense. The Knicks, the part that's so weird is that they just keep going after – they keep expressing interest in guys who already have jobs.
It's crazy. It's the weirdest thing I've ever
seen. They've got a fetish for it.
Yes, yes.
It's just so strange.
They're home wreckers is what they are. They're home wreckers. Yeah. They're gonna wreck a home. You ain't wrecking this home. You ain't wrecking Houston. Houston basically hung up on him. So no, you're not.
It is. That's the thing. They're trying to wreck homes of. They're trying to break up happy marriages.
Yeah.
It's one thing. You know, a guy might be like, dump that, Colin. Dump that, Colin. Does Colin know how to use the dump button?
Yeah, he did. He got it.
Okay.
He got it.
I don't think I got the whole word out, but still. Boy, that guy really treats her like doo-doo. I don't know. Maybe like, no, this is like, wow, I have never seen a more happier couple. And boy, they're just, he just got promoted to junior executive.
Yeah.
And she loves him, and the kids are beautiful and well-behaved, but I'm going to destroy that marriage.
I'm going to go wreck that home. And the funny thing is, it's a hobo that's trying to wreck the home. It's a hobo who's basically, somebody donated him a nice suit. Like, yeah, they made the conference finals, but that's still a hobo. That's a hobo franchise over there. They still, somewhere in their closet, they still have a bindle with a stick with the bag on the back of it that they walk around with. And that suit is going to be dirty as hell at some point in the next few months.
Yes.
A well-dressed hobo is what they are.
It's one thing if Angelina Jolie breaks up a marriage.
Yeah.
I'll be damned if Amy Poehler comes up and wrecks shop or something, you know? I like Amy Poehler.
Who's the other?
I'd rather be married to Amy Poehler. I would much rather be married to Amy Poehler than Angelina Jolie.
She'd be way more fun.
I feel like probably just built to last more.
You'd
have a more pleasant home life and all that.
I think so too.
I apologize to Amy Poehler. That was mean. That was really mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Find a different person to be. Who should it have been? No, I'm just joking.
It's dicey territory we're in these days, Sean.
I know. I know. I get it.
I'm probably canceled already just for even saying that about Amy Poehler.
You probably canceled that. You did in the same segment where you got dumped. You know, it's you.
Who is a loathsome, ugly woman with no political bent to it? Because I know there's already 29 mentions.
Here come the texts
of one particular.
I'm guessing there will be answers. Okay, text message. We'll do Take-A-Mania here at the top.
Actually,
of the hour.
Honestly, I can say this safely. It was kind of the feeling people had with Monica Lewinsky, like. Her?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's who you're going to put your marriage on the line for, huh?
Right, right.
All right. Yeah.
Not even the leader of the free world. You're the president of the United States.
So there's Angelina breaking up a marriage versus Monica Lewinsky potentially breaking up a marriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, this is funny. WTF happened while I was stuck at the Wiggles show with my kids. Jimmy Ward got arrested. Only time I was worried about any team in conference was when we had Brock Osweiler on our team. So this person's saying two things in the text. Yeah, Jimmy Ward. No new news this morning on Jimmy Ward. We should mention that. If you've come to the
store.
I
wonder. I mean, Jimmy's a smart guy. I don't know what happened in this situation. I'm guessing he's going to take the advice of his lawyer. Jimmy's the opposite of Antonio Brown taking the advice of his lawyer. I'd guess that you're not going to hear anything from Jimmy Ward. You're not going to hear anything from the Texans. I'd be surprised if you hear anything from Jimmy Ward's fiance. It's probably going to be pretty closed up until we start to see some of the actual legal documents.
Do you think we see anything from Jimmy Ward's lawyer at any point here? Because we haven't even seen that yet.
But it'll probably be a bland statement. I don't think it's going to be one of these. You know, sometimes these defendants, their lawyers put out statements that I feel do more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go on the attack necessarily, regardless of what the situation is.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. The whole situation is very surprising and sad, regardless of whatever details we learn. It's always sad when something like this happens, no matter what the specific details are.
For sure. So we'll keep an eye on that. Well, that's two things we're keeping an eye on. Is there any new Jimmy Ward news, and is there any news on Isak Paredes' left hamstring? We've not seen anything on that I've seen yet, either this morning. All right, into the 9 o'clock.
Since you brought up Osweiler, are we out at 53 or 55 here?
Yeah, 55. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Just since you brought up Osweiler, I can't stop reading this quote.
Read it again.
From Brock Osweiler in his first year with the Texans. They refer to Tom Brady a lot. With all due respect to Coach O'Brien and George Godsey, I've told them I'm going to be me. I'm not here to be a puppet, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm going to be who I am and believe in what I bring to the table every day. What is wrong with you?
Amazing that guy didn't work out as the quarterback of an NFL team. Yeah.
Can you imagine? It'd be like if our boss came in and said, "Hey guys, you know what? I want to look over some things that Jim Rome did in his career, and I know that they don't all apply to you, but I think we can learn some things from the way Jim Rome did his job." And we're like, "Get that trash out of here. I'm Seth."
It took Jim Rome way too long to get into the Hall of Fame.
Like, what on earth? You know what bothers me the most about that whole statement? When he says, "If you will." Like, are you? Are you a nerdy middle-aged man?
Oh, yeah.
Are you Sean Pendergast?
Right.
No.
Right,
like,
right.
What the hell? You're a.
Well, give me a little bit of per se. Yeah, I need some per se in there.
If you will.
I'm not going to be Tom Brady per se. Yeah.
I'm not here to be a puppet, if you will.
If you will. Perchance.
Like, he wrote it beforehand or something.
Yeah, perchance. That's a good one. Yeah.
I was just joking, Sean, about you being a nerd. Oh,
that's okay.
You're not.
I appreciate
that. I'm sorry.
That. You're good. Payne and Pendergast with you. Heading into let's get into the 9 o'clock hour. Are you ready for Take-A-Mania, judge and jury? Are you ready to go?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I've been ready for this since the day I was born.
Take-A-Mania. Kendrick Perkins has the belt. I acquire the talent. Seth is the booker. He decides who goes over in these title matches. We've got four takes. And I've got a bonus feature that has to do with the longest-running champion in Take-A-Mania, Angelo Cataldi, where I start to actually feel a little sorry for Andy Reid. We will get to that, hopefully, coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.